Firstly, we'd like to thank everyone for being here. Baruch Hashem, it's great to see people, especially some people who are smart enough to come from up north. The Floridians here, unfortunately, it's considered a cold day. We see people wearing sweaters and yeshiva jackets, but I hope the people from up north could deal with such cold weather here. Today's shiur should be a schus for Azriel ben Aryeh HaKohen, sponsored by the Honig family, and Be'ezus Hashem, all the learning here in this Beis Medrash, as well as people who listen to this all around, should gain from it, and should be a schus for him, for his neshama. Actually, it's very appropriate that this week's shiur is sponsored by Nishma somebody, because we know in Yiddishkeit, we're not limited by time and place, right? There's Olam Haba, that's infinite, that's beyond time. But really the contrast is, though, Olam Haba might be beyond time, but this world is definitely finite and definitely governed by time. In general world, right, we measure days, years. The halachic world, we know, it may not yet be an app on everyone's phone, but in the halachic world, we also measure time. And time is of tremendous importance. Just today, I saw people davening at a later chakras minyan, and they were getting nervous, what's this man kriyashma? Since it's the first week, first day after we changed the clocks, there's adjustments. Oh no, what time is Zman Kriyashma? The Jewish world is always focused on time. When a Jew asks, what time is it? You know, what time do you mean? The Gra, Rebbeinu Tam, Shachris, Mincha. You know, only a Jew could turn a simple question, what time it is, into a whole lumdisha discussion. Now, before I begin, Rabbi Berger had a good line, I must say. Today's shiur might be entitled 72 Minutes, Clarity in Rabbeinu Tam's Shita, Rabbeinu Tam's position on nightfall. But don't worry, today's shiur will not be 72 minutes. I'm aiming for one of the shorter Shitas, maybe even 42. Now, the number, you say Rabbeinu Tam, I would say this is probably, in the world, this is up there, top one, top two, Pesachim of Rabbeinu Tam. Actually saw a Talmud in Yeshiva putting on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. I'm like, by the way, if you want to hear about Rabbeinu Tam's Shita, you could come to the shiur today. Right? Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, that's a famous Rabbeinu Tam. But 72 minutes, the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam in nightfall is also quite a famous position that this grandson of Rashi took, Rabbeinu Tam took. And today's shiur, we hope to explain it. And really, today's shiur, we hope to explain the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam and maybe touch on perhaps other numbers other than 72. Maybe 42, 50, 60, 82, 92, 102. Some of these numbers you might be familiar with. Some of these numbers, you look at me from the back, did I just make these up? Perhaps. But we hope to explain this. But I think the big number definitely is 72. I once heard a story, I believe it. You know, Chaim Kanievsky, you know, Gadol Chaim, is known people who actually get into the inner circle, not just the Buha people, just pass by and get a bracha. But Rav Chaim actually has quite a sense of humor, quite normal. It seems there's a Kanievsky family minog at the Shabbos table. They would play the number game. It might be different than the number game you've played. I've played number games when I was a kid. Well, you know, everyone takes a number and everyone calls each other numbers out. Complicated game. New Jersey. But the Kanievsky family has a very unique number game they play. Someone starts with a number and they go around the table. Everyone has to say what's associated with that number. Let's say they picked the number 17. So you have to go through Kol Torah Kula. And when does number 17 come up? Now, it's fair game to pick the 17th perek of Masechta Shabbos and say what that is. Later, the number 17 came up in any other halakhic discussion. Any Gemara and Shas, Daf Yud Zayin, right, would count. Even though it's the 16th lot, but Daf Yud Zayin. And they play games going through, okay, take a number and rip through Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Siman Yud Zayin, Evan Ezer, Siman Yud Zayin. Just absolute mastery of the Jewish world and Torah and numbers. They would play such a game at the Kanievsky family table. Obviously, Rav Chaim Kanievsky could answer any of these questions with the blink of his eye. So 72, hopefully, is a number. When you hear that number, okay, it could be the pledge that you owe for the last Yisker appeal. A few times high. But 72 should also ring in your head, Rabbeinu Tam's Shita. And Rabbeinu Tam's Shita, before we get into any explanation of it, is that nightfall only begins after 72 minutes. So if you want to know when is Shabbos over, in a Rabbeinu Tam world, it's after 72 minutes. If you want to know when a fast is over for Yom Kippur, 72 minutes. If you want to know when a child is considered born the next day, in Rabbeinu Tam world, it's only 72 minutes. There might be some kulas too. We'll have to talk about those or why they don't really exist. But there are potentially a lot of nafkaminas if you were to adapt Rabbeinu Tam Shita of 72 minutes. And do not worry. There is no application at the end of share today for people to sign up to Rabbeinu Tam. We're not giving out such a thing. And even if you hear something interesting, you should always say Bli Neder. And okay. Now, where does this Rabbeinu Tam Shita come from? Such a big idea, such a major Shita, you know. You know, you sometimes see people, their first, you know, they're coming out of Shul, Ma'ariv Motzei Shabbos, and these other people are first going in, yeah. Right? The later minyan, the 72-minute minyan. So, you know, people watch their clocks. So you want to know, why is it that people keep 72 minutes? What's it based on, this sheet of Rabbeinu Tam? So there's a little Tosfos on the top of your sheets in Maseches Shabbos. This is Daf Lamed Hey, Amud Aleph. Where Tosfos deals with the stira. It's fascinating. This is a Tosfos like any other Tosfos in Shas. Thousands upon thousands of them. Just this one of the Tosfos that made Rabbeinu Tam famous. Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosfos asks, Kasha, the Alka Mashma, the Mishkiya Sachama, the Laila, Lak El Tlosser Rivi Mil. The Gemara over here in Shabbos is Mashma, that from Shkia until Shkia is sunset, until nightfall, all it is 3/4 of a mil. A mil is basically a measurement of 18 minutes. So simple math. 3/4 of 18 comes out to 13.5. However, Rabbi Yehuda Gufa, the same Rabbi Yehuda who was mentioned in his Gemara in Shabbos, the Psachim Berg Misha Yitame, Savan Mishkiya Sacham at Seis, from sunset until the stars come out, until nightfall, is Arba Milan. It says a Govim Lailahu, Kadamarin Berech Parakam and the Psachim. Okay, quotes Kamarin, also Megillah. In Psachim, the same Rabbi Yehuda says that the period of time from Shkia until Tseis, Shkia until nightfall, is 4 mil. Again, if a mil is 18 minutes, 4 times chai, 72. Stira is the period from sunset to nightfall. Is that 13.5 minutes? Or is that 72? Tosfos asks the stira, two gemaras, happens all the time. Two Gemara seem in contradiction. Va'amar Rabbeinu Tam. Comes Rabbeinu Tam. I have a solution. What's the solution? The Hasam Mairi over there in Psachim Tchilas Shkia. V'hacha, there it's talking about from the beginning of Shkia until nightfall, that's your 72 minutes. However, V'hacha, Mishintaka, Misov Shkia, Achach Nos Sachama, Ba'ovi Rakia. Here we're talking about the time after the sun already, the rays of the sun go under the horizon. Okay. What is Rabbeinu Tam saying? So there's actually a Ron over here in Shabbos, which expands on this a little more. I put down a modern day Sfarim that clarify it in the bottom. He writes, the Nimsa, this is the Shari Zmanim, Nimsa L'shitas Rabbeinu Tam Yishtei Shkios. Very big idea. Comes out from this Rabbeinu Tam, there's two real sunsets. Huh? I never heard that. Rabbeinu Tam says, yes, there really is two parts to sunset. Right? Don't tell your meteorologist that the rabbis think there's two sunsets. It means, in halachic terms, there's two sunsets. Hashkir Rishona K'shinechsa Chama Mi'aneinu. The first sunset is when the ball of the sun goes under the horizon. Okay? So a nice ball of the sun dips under the horizon. That's what Rabbeinu Tam would call Shkia number one. Vashkia Shnia, Ukashimahalach Achuria Kippa, Vinama Damenas, Odes Panea Rikia. Right? Even after the ball of the sun dips under the horizon, there are still rays of light coming out of the sun. And those, some nights they can make beautiful colors. Those you still see jutting out. That, once you no longer see the rays of the sun, that's what we call the second Shkia. And that second Shkia, that's where, from there, we have nightfall. So, Lemaisa, Rabbeinu Tam is learning from the beginning of this process of the sun beginning to fade until the end is 72 minutes. Now, Bein HaShmashos doesn't begin until that second Shkia. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the first Shkia, the beginning of the ball going down, the ball of the sun going down until the rays come out, that would be, as they give the cheshbon, is 13 and a half minutes. That's what the Gemara in Shabbos is talking about. The 13 and a half minutes is from when the ball of the sun goes and dips under the horizon. Right. But the next 58 and a half minutes, that's when the rays of the sun went under until nightfall comes. That's the period of Bein HaShmashos. So the first 13 and a half minutes, that's still considered day. The next 58 and a half, that's the process till it gets to Lila. And together, that's your 72 minutes from the beginning of the sun setting till the end in Rabbeinu Tam. That's how he explains these two Gemaras, really two statements of Rabbi Yehuda, but they're not in Stira. Yes?
To clarify, you're talking the first 13 and a half minutes is where is the sun to start at that point?
The sun went under the horizon.
The top of the sun dipped under.
Correct. And then after 13 and a half minutes, that's the period by then the rays go under. Then you get darkness. And that period of darkness until we consider nightfall is 72, is the other 15 and a half minutes, which gets you to 72. Now, okay, I hope that's clear. Now, let me, at this point,
after sunset, you're in according to Rabbi Natan. So when does Sof Shkia start?
After the sun, the rays go in.
58 and a half minutes.
Right. It's going
to
be.
So it's not Ben Ashmashos, according to him, until 58 and a half minutes.
Right.
Okay. Not 13 and a half.
No, okay.
13 and a half come at the end.
Right.
Ben Ashmashos is 13 and
okay.
a half at the
right.
end, right?
Now. Now, hold on. Lemaisa, let's just put in perspective. I'll jump to the Mishnah Berurah. It's probably the easiest thing way to do it. The Mechaber, this is Siman Reis Samach Aleph. This is the halachos of Tosefa Shabbos. So Mechaber writes there, Vishir Zman Ben Ashmashos. What's the share of Ben Ashmashos? Hu Gimer Revi Mil, Shemahalach Elv Tuvkav Amo, Kodim Laila. Okay? The share of Ben Ashmashos is 3/4 mil. Which is 1,500 amos before nightfall. The Mishnah Berurah writes, "Vu nerech v'sha." That's about 13 and a half minutes, about 1/4 hour. Vine Ashulchan Aruch hiske besiv zed daso bein tam v'siyasa. Ashulchan Aruch over here is going with the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. The end of the day. The period for nightfall is going to be 72 minutes. Now, this sheet of Rabbeinu Tam is argued upon by many. Avol harbi mei rishodim svirle, the gam hagra hiskim l'shitasa. There are many that argue, and the gra's amongst them, the Chavetz Chaim is quoting, the Ben Ashmashos masvul takeif ach tchilas ashkia. Right? The Ben Ashmashos really begins right after the ball goes down. Sounds like New Year's. But Ben Ashmashos begins as soon as the ball of the sun goes down. All Ben Ashmashos is just 13 and a half minutes. Right after those 13 and a half minutes, according to most of the Gaonim, then your stars come out. Vuhu Laila me'atar l'chol davar. And that's considered already Laila. So the gap between Rabbeinu Tam Shita and really the Gaonim Shita we talked about is 58 and a half minutes. According to the more lenient opinion, as soon as the ball of the sun goes under, that's it. You just witnessed sunset, and it's okay. It takes 13 and a half minutes from the time everyone's agreeing to those, you know, astrological facts that once the ball of the sun goes down, it's 13 and a half minutes. But after those 13 and a half minutes, it's already nighttime. You're going to have stars come out. That's night according to the Gaonim. According to Rabbeinu Tam, no. Shkia's just beginning at that point. And thus, we have to wait another 58 and a half minutes to get to 72. So the Mechaber here, in a random sif, is quoting Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Now, I saw, I never, how the Shulchan Aruch is, right. Shulchan Aruch is quoting Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Right. Now, Lemaisa, you know, the fact that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting Rabbeinu Tam Shita, Pashtus assumes, okay, that's the halachas like. If the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber decided to specifically quote Rabbeinu Tam, sounds like, okay, he's passing like Rabbeinu Tam. I saw an Aruch HaShulchan who gave as a dochek, is, oh, maybe, really, since in the Gemara, the Gaonim Shita is clear, maybe the Shulchan Aruch Tiskai just to explain the other Shita and brought it. But that's a colossal dochek, he himself admits, and the assumption we normally have, if the Shulchan Aruch just quotes one opinion, that's what the opinion is like. So if you just stop the share here, okay, then the Shulchan Aruch is possibly like a Beinu Tam. There ain't no Ramah over here that argues. Okay, I don't know what you do next Motzei Shabbos. Okay, we have more time. Shabbos finishes early. It's the perfect week to give a share about 72 minutes. Because next Shabbos, if you decide to keep 72 minutes, it's still the night's young.
So we certainly don't sound like we're
but don't end share right here.
We also don't sound like we're not like we're Beinu Tam. The other option is the Gaonim.
True.
If a guy would walk out of shul 13 and a half minutes after Shabbos,
well, he'd get shot.
He'd be in trouble, right?
Yes.
We don't sound like
Rabbi Flamel's excellent point. Correct. I'm not even giving you guys Bechira. Really, this other position, 13 and a half minutes, right, it's not accepted. Your children will not get Shidduchim if you end Shabbos. 13 and a half minutes.
Not even discussed.
Right? No Aliyahs on Shabbos. Your Machal Shabbos. Who keeps such a position? Correct.
Except the Grah.
Huh?
Maybe the Grah.
Yes.
In good company in 120.
Now.
So how much later?
If you keep every other Grah, maybe. Now, normally, look, every community has their rabbanim, and their each rav, you know, that's one thing, it's not given out to a committee. You know, who makes up the zmanim in a shul? If the rav doesn't have control over that, I don't know if you have a rav. The rav has to have control, and that's also one of the things, you know, talk about break rate minyanim on the Motzei Shabbos. You know, I spent a couple of years learning in Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, Eretz Yisrael is famous for what they call smokers minyanim. I remember I spent many Shabbosim in Har Nof in the downstairs parking lot of every building, right? Josh, you know what I'm talking about. There are these minyanim that somehow start X amount of time. Maybe they're the 13, they're the grub people. they're it's called a smokers minyan because they can't wait. And they have these minyanim, but every shul, the rov, as one of the things they hold closest to their chest, are the zmanim. Look, you're rav, you have to decide the zmanim. Most shuls, you know, there are shuls, you know, the Hasidic world, some people need the Litvisha world, they do the full 72. But for, and the shah, doesn't mean you have to daven that late. That's different shahs. When you start Meirev, it's Kriyashma, halachas. But, you know, local shuls over here, they start, many of them start 40 minutes, Poshkia, you know, some places around here, they start 50 minutes, 55 minutes, okay. But the Zmanim, yeah, that's very much a Rav's territory, Rav's business, which way are you going to Paskin? But you're right, so far we just see the number 72. The number 13 and a half doesn't really mean anything to us, because nobody keeps 13 and a half minutes, no one really keeps the going. So where do these other numbers come from? So I'll show you in a moment. But so far, what we do see, the Shulchan Aruch is keeping 72, Shita Rabbeinu Tam. For the record, the Chafetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha, it's on the left side of your page, writes, V'nachon l'chachila latzeiz das Rabbeinu Tam, v'chol hani rebusa, bosei den makzikim b'shitasa, m'sholasa m'lach motzi shabbos, asha yishlam ashir d'dal min. That L'chora, everyone should keep, ideally, the sheet of 72. That's what the Chafetz Chaim is writing over here. Okay? So not only is it the stimus lashon of the Mechaber, but the Chafetz Chaim writes, ideally, one should keep 72 minutes. Now, I really, if I had a time or space, I should have put down the beautiful, Ramosha talks about this concept a few times throughout the Igros Moshe. Probably the best tshuva, start from the end, is in Or Chaim Chilek Dalid. There, Ramosha has a tshuva, Simon Samach Beis. There, Ramosha gives over his opinion of 50 minutes. And that is what many Rabbanim rely on, the idea of 50 minutes. Rav Moshe, where is that? Where's 50 minutes come from? 50 minutes from sunset,
okay,
to for the end of Shabbos. 50 minutes, right? You dive in at a minyan, Motzei Shabbos, which is 40 minutes.
Yes.
You have no problem, you know, if you stay to the end of davening. You know, you won't be making Havdalah before 50 minutes. Where does 50 come from? So here is the story. Moshe Feinstein, obviously knew Europe, knew Russia, came to America, and he studied sunsets. He watched. And Moshe says he watched in New York, he watched in New Jersey, he watched in upstate New York, and he got people tell him it's basically the same everywhere else in America too. Moshe noticed at 50 minutes after Shkia, he was already able to see, right? The halacha is three medium stars. Rav Moshe said, yeah, you easily see three stars by 50 minutes. Thus, Rav Moshe said, all you need, the end game is Seisa Kochavim, nightfall. That's the end game. This whole cheshbon of 72 is, I'm saying over simply how Rav Moshe is calculating, is to get to the end game of those three stars. But what happens if you see those three stars before 72? Rav Moshe says, Vayere Vayivoker, this is nightfall. That's Rav Moshe Paskin. In fact, Rav Moshe goes one step further. Rav Moshe said, 50 minutes here in America is what was 72 minutes back in Europe. That's what he says. And therefore, Moshe says, look, 50 minutes 100% is good enough today in America for this Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. That is Moshe's, I'll use the word kula, that is Moshe's position, which he writes. He does write, ideally, B'nai Torah, people want to be Machmer, could keep 72. You have to know, is that like his B'nai Torah being Machmer and Chol Yisrael business? But you have to know what that means by that. No, but he hears, I think it's probably more. It's probably more of a basis. But Rav Moshe says, look, I still hear you want to be Machmer 72, Kol Kavod. But if needed, 50 is equivalent in his mind to 72. Now, there is one language in the tshuva which I saw a couple people jump on. I saw Shmuel Kamenetsky, I saw this Shari Zmanim Sefer. As Rav Moshe talks about that 50 here in America is equivalent to 72 in Europe, the Gemaras, the Rabbeinu Tam, when they're talking about 72, the Gemara is written about Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. That's not Europe. No. It's the Middle East.
Well, that so, mean the timing was different. They had different, their watches worked differently?
No. So let me explain. The timing issue is people who study up. Well, I'm not even up to that yet. In different places, depending on its spot vis-a-vis the equator, will determine how quick a sunset is. So, let's start with Europe. In Europe, based on where the position of the continent was vis-a-vis the equator, it took a longer amount of time for the sun to set from the horizon. Where your position here in America, it's quicker. To be honest, and I'll get to there in a moment, there's even a difference between New York and Miami. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, famously spent many winters right here. He was also a smart man. Spent many winters here in Florida, and he studied sunset. And he said there's a 20% difference between New York and here. Which that might actually have some halachic nafkaminas, especially with Moshe's 8 minutes post-Shkia. He really have less, according to Rabbi Yaakov. My father has told me that. But, so, what Moshe was utilizing when he saw the stars and determined nightfall was, hey, the number 72 should be relative to where you are on the globe. And Europe is different than America. So, in America, 50 is good enough. Right? It's also known, Yerushalayim, right? there the sun actually sets very quick, definitely quicker than Europe, which is another kasha, and how do they have the 72? You don't go with this cheshbon. There are a couple of questions on Rav Moshe's calculations that I saw modern svarim have. But leave Yerushalayim aside, leave Rav Moshe's equation to Europe when it should have been the Middle East. But that is the basics. So Rav Moshe holds 50 minutes is 72. There are poskim, I'll take a question in a moment. Just one more step on Rav Moshe's sock. When Rav Moshe says 50, there were a couple poskim. One, and it seems Rav Moshe even himself heard such a cheshbon, is Rav Henkin said you shouldn't keep 50, you should keep 60. Because, okay, you're right, at 50 it looks like the three stars emerged, but you're dealing with, especially with Doraisas, dealing with Shabbos, you should be more machmer. So Rav Henkin said, don't just make the number 50, shift the number to 60. I found Rabbi Ginsburg has a sefer, Chaim Arizev sefer, Shalat Shiva Divrei Chachamim. I've heard such a thing. And he quotes that Rav David Leibowitz also said, went with the 60 number. It seems Rav Moshe himself was maskam to Rav Henkin's idea, maybe it's better to do 60. Okay. I don't know that Rabbanim do that. Many Rabbanim, I think, stick with the 50, Psak or Rav Moshe. But Rav Henkin, amongst and others, said, if you're going with that cheshbon, it's smarter to do 60. Also, then the gap between that and 72 is only, you know, it's a shorter gap. 50 to 72 is a more substantial gap. But that's basically where you get those numbers. Okay, take a few questions.
I have two questions.
Yes.
First of all, Rabbeinu Tam, did he live in France like his grandfather did, or was he further north?
So it's a great question, and that perhaps, right, what was asked for a home audience is, I gotta be careful too, is where did the Rabbeinu Tam live? So that itself, right, the tree that you're barking up is potentially, you might argue that Rabbeinu Tam wrote this understanding of 72 because he was within Europe. So even though he's coming to explain the Gemara and Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, which was affecting the Middle East, but maybe Rabbeinu Tam understood that within the context of Europe. And that's where emotion's coming from. Maybe, but that's already juggling things. Because if the different spots in the globe, if you clearly see that Eretz Yisrael is quicker than Europe, system, how does that work out? Okay, I hear.
I have a second question.
Yes.
It's nice to be machmir for the end of Shabbos, but if you're going to do it on both sides of the coin, there are times where it's going to become a problem, like taking in Yom Kippur too late.
Yes. So excellent point. I was going to get to this.
Problematic.
And actually, we already got to this. We gave a shiur towards the end of last year on Rabbi Aaron Cutler and his psukim. So one of the things, Rabbi Aaron, is actually going to get done this list too. Rabbi Aaron very much pushed 72 minutes. And in general, the Lakewood Olam, the Yeshivisha Olam, keeps that today. That was based on Rabbi Aaron's push. And Rabbi Aaron sort of made the Abraham Accords, a pact with the Satmar Rebbe. Yeshivish world and the Hasidish world signed a peace treaty. Rabbi Aaron said he's going to push 72 minutes for keeping, which will strengthen the Hasidish world too, because they're very into Rabbeinu Tam Shita. On one condition, in the Hasidish world, back in Europe, they held Rabbeinu Tam fully, and they wouldn't begin Shabbos until 72 minutes post Shkia. The same way they play games, you know, with their minchas, right? And lasses manim. But their Shabbos in Europe was way late. Now, in Europe, it didn't really matter how late the shtot in Satmar is keeping Shabbos. Because they're their own individual sect. It's not affecting anybody. In America, the problem would be if in New York City, you have the non-Hasidish Olam beginning Shabbos at one time, and the Hasidish Olam beginning Shabbos 58 minutes later. That'll be a big problem. So Rav Moshe made this pact with the Satmar Rebbe. Oh, sorry, Rav Aaron made this pact with the Satmar Rebbe. Okay, I'm going to push 72, but you guys have to be machmer the other way and begin Shabbos the same 18 minutes across the board. And that was a major move that Rabbi Aaron made for Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, we all start Shabbos the same. We don't end Shabbos the same, but we all start Shabbos the same.
It was much, if I remember correctly, it was much more of a crucial issue then, because when this was going on, I guess it started happening in the 40s when Satmar came over.
Right.
Chil Shabbos was rampant.
Right. Excellent point.
Shmir Shabbos was very, very difficult. There were a lot of people who were not Shomer Shabbos.
Right.
I mean, and so they were afraid that if a guy who is borderline as it is, a half hour, 50 minutes after Shabbos, which he thinks, as far as he remembers in his whole life, is Shabbos, he sees a Hasidish guy driving his car doing Chil Shabbos, then I might as well go to work. And he's
right.
Going to work all Shabbos.
Excellent.
Afraid of
excellent perspective that Flamos is adding is that in those years, in the 40s, you know, there were, you know, Baruch Hashem, Yiddishkeit was growing, but slowly. And it was much better in the 40s than it was in the 20s and the 30s. But it was still in America really in infancy. And if there'd be any thing which could be a knock on Shemira Shabbos, that would be lethal to the Jewish community. And this negotiation between Rabbi Aaron and Rabbi Yoel was so major because, okay, you needed to strengthen Chol Shabbos, strengthen Shemira Shabbos, and do everything you can to prevent Chol Shabbos. So that was mamish, a major peace accord, and that...
Did he have to agree that the Satmar would move to Lakewood?
Today, Satmar and Lakewood get along very well.
Yeah. Yeah,
Satmar's in Lakewood already.
Still
lots of Hasidim are in Lakewood already. Lots of supermarkets, yes.
Being Chodesh Kislev, what's our net effect of all this on lighting Hanukkah candles?
So I'm going to get to that. Hold on. Now, one more cute, fascinating nafkamina between Rav Moshe and, let's say, Rav Aaron. I feel bad. I remember multiple discussions like this. I forgot some of the details. I did Shemesh by Rav Moshe's close Talmud, Rav Bluth. So we had a lot of discussions about Zmanim. So like one of them was these issues of a bris. Let's say a child is born Friday evening, 53 minutes after Shkia. When is that child's bris?
Sunday.
In Lakewood, the answer is Sunday. That's a Sunday bris. By Rav Moshe, the answer is next Shabbos. That's the cutoff. Is 50 minutes night or is 72 minutes night? A big nafkamina, when's the bris? Big shilos. It's very important. So Rav Moshe took 50 minutes. He held that strong. And Rav Aaron took 72 and he held that equally strong. Right? It could be today. Right? Menachem, I want you to check this one up. I wonder if in Yeshiva Staten Island, the Yeshiva Staten Island is Moshe's Yeshiva.
Yeah.
Staten Island is like already a suburb of Lakewood for decades already. You know, right? Most of the Rebbeim in Staten Island live in Lakewood. You know, the New Jersey Turnpike goes through Staten Island.
It's more than 50 miles away.
Yeah, but this is the way New York, this is the way Lakewood works. I wonder if you could get a Lakewood Molo to do a bris in Staten Island on Shabbos for a baby born 50 minutes. I wonder. You might have to pay him a lot of money.
Yeah, how much does it cost?
$10,000. It could be Nogea to a lot of other things, by the way.
Check that up now.
It's not just for Moshe.
Yeah.
We mentioned there are other shitas. So if you hold.
Right. 60.
40.
Right.
Or 60, you're going to be in the same position. You
yeah.
personally might hold
yes.
40 or something. And
yes. Now, let me just end off with one area. Really, as we got to Rav Moshe's Psak, we already touched upon the idea that depending on the place where you're in, that could affect this evaluation of time. You know, Rav Moshe says, you know, 50 is the new 72, right? So Rav Moshe played with the Chafetz Chaim, does write in the Be'er Halacha, it's a consonant. We don't play where, it doesn't matter where you are in this. There's another discussion the Chafetz Chaim talks about. What about, you brought up before, Josh, Shalosmanios, right? Measuring the amount of daylight in the summer is obviously going to be different than the dead of the winter. Your halachic hours are different. So there's a machlokas achronim within the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. When Rabbeinu Tam does his calculations take into effect different hours of the day depending on the season?
Yeah, because neither of these sheetas are good in Anchorage at all.
There's a second part of that, which is Amadash.
Yes. So the Chafetz Chaim and the Be'er Halacha, this is the same Be'er Halacha, just a bigger point. I left that off the sheet too. Brings a shita of the Minchas Kohen that does say that Shol Zmanios change. And that alone could mean that it could be at some points of the year, 72 minutes is longer. Right? It could be up to 82 minutes. It could be 92 minutes. However, the Prima Gaudim argues, that I brought in the sheets.
You're talking about whether Rabbeinu Tam is Tully on
Shalosmanios.
Shalosmanios, not the place.
Correct. Right. Besides, right, there are two factors that might go into changing number 72. One we already talked about is the place. But also the time of the year could also potentially affect it. And there's a machlokas achronim in that.
Time of the year may also affect the physical phenomena of how quickly it gets dark.
Oh,
so I'm not sure what you're talking about.
No.
The Tully's episode.
No. So that I saw people argue against. Right? But does the time of the year affect how quickly the sun sets? Let's say from the ball of the sun going under to the rays going under. That I saw, they claim it's tested. That didn't change.
That doesn't change?
That doesn't change. That 13 and a half minute period, that stays the same.
But the time from sunrise to sunset, those what we call 12 hours on our watch in
right.
the secular world, that's very different.
Now hold on. Hold on. Let me just conclude with this, and I'll take more questions after. It's fascinating. There's a safer Avnei Shoham, which brings a letter from the Chafetz Chaim. This was not published in, definitely not in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. It wasn't even published. There's Kisvei Chafetz Chaim. And there are things that the Chafetz Chaim son point. It's not in any of those. But there's some letter, which I assume is, you know, authentic. letter from the Chafetz Chaim, where the Chafetz Chaim writes that the number 72 is a constant. And it doesn't matter that Minhag Yisrael, it's 72 across the board. We don't allow, we pass them like this Prima Gaudim, and we don't go beyond that. I saw similarly, you talked about Hanukkah candles, Rav Sternbuch has a whole tshuva by Hanukkah candles. He gets into this whole discussion, and he quotes similarly this type of idea. He doesn't quote this Chafetz Chaim. He says, yeah, the Mesorah is to go with 72 minutes, and not to go beyond that, not to go different than that. That's what we do, we keep 72. So, to conclude, and I'll take questions because this is the type of share you still might be scratching your head. So practically speaking, just to review, you have one itty bitty Tosos, just like all the other tens of thousands of Tosos throughout Shas, but this one has a pretty major ramification. Tosos is coming, Rabbeinu Tam is coming to answer a steerer between two statements in Pesachim and Shabbos, and it comes up with this idea of two shkias of 72 minutes. The Mechaber goes like him. The Chafetz Chaim and Rav Moshe himself even say ideally people are able to, they should try to keep 72. But at the same time, Rav Moshe does make an equation that in his mind, in his eye, what he saw was that in America, it gets quicker, the sunset, than it was in Europe. And therefore, Moshe says you could adapt 50 minutes. Okay? There are those who want to be machmir beyond the 50 to make it 60, fine. But that obviously is a different, nice nafkamina between that and 72. The Chafetz Chaim might argue, and the Chafetz Chaim says you can't just look at the sky and make these calculations. Moshe sort of did. Right. And we talked about the potential nafkamina, also the time of the years, not just the place, but the time of the years. But in general, everyone is trying to keep within the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. So don't think that you're keeping the 13 and a half minutes of the Gaonim. Nobody's keeping like that. Everyone's keeping Rabbeinu Tam. But within Rabbeinu Tam, there's a difference of understanding. Is that 72 straight? Or could 50 or even 60 be a fulfillment of Rabbeinu Tam's idea? Thank you very much, and have a good Shabbos.